meant to be surprising.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I just want to give a lot of gratitude out to Don Newsom and Seth over at BBS Radio for providing us with such a great platform to raise consciousness by using Hollywood. And in keeping with that thinking, I have an incredible guest this evening that I'm very excited to share with you. Her name is Robin Simon. Her website is www.transformationfilm.com. That's www.transformationfilm.com. What Robin has done is done a documentary on Werner Erhard, who is the originator, founder of the EST programs, and which is later spun off into Landmark Education. And the life and legacy of Werner Erhard became the focus of Robin Simon, who's a two-time Emmy Award-winning director. And we're going to find out more about that on this interview with Robin, which I'm very excited about because Werner Erhard did leave a legacy in the world and has done such good for so many people. Very controversial man. And, you know, was it about the message or was it about the messenger? We're going to find out in this interview. The film summary of Transformation, The Life and Legacy of Werner Erhard, is an almost forgotten culture icon and founder of the controversial EST seminar, pulls back the curtain on his life, his ideas, and why he left the country. The documentary, Transformation, The Life and Legacy of Werner Erhard, had its world premiere at the Palm Beach International Film Festival in April of 2006. Werner Erhard, pioneer of the multi-billion dollar personal growth industry, breaks a long silence about his ideas, his life, and the controversial program, EST, that made him a cultural icon of the 1970s and 80s. With exclusive and rare footage, I'll say, I saw it myself a few times, you'll step inside EST seminars and hear provocative interviews with peers, naysayers, family members, participants, and experts. Viewers will be surprised and even shocked at how Erhard's course and ideas, thought by some as strictly a phenomenon of the 70s and 80s, have permeated the very fabric of our society today. Was he a man on a mission to make a difference, or just a man on a mission to make a million, and make millions, actually? The film debates whether it's possible to separate the message from the messenger and takes a glaring look at how the media targets public figures, leaving us with the notion that despite what you might think of him personally, this now almost forgotten cultural leader has left a lasting social legacy of personal transformation. Without further ado, I'd like to bring on Robin Simon. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Kate. Thank you for that very nice introduction. That was really wonderful. You summed it up very well.
Yeah, well, I've seen the film now, four or five times, and I have to tell you that I'm left shifted just a little bit more every time I watch it. This isn't one of those things that if you get the DVD and watch it once, you put it away and it collects dust. This is something you're going to want to tell everybody about and give it to your friends and family and have them take a look at it, because regardless of the controversy around Werner Erhard, when the way that you have directed this documentary and so painstakingly and lovingly put it together, there's transformation all over the DVD.
Thank you. You know, that's the real reason why I did the documentary. I was a producer at PBS, and I've always been interested in social causes and the human condition. And what I wanted more than anything else, of course, I knew people were going to be curious about what happened to Werner and the controversy surrounding him. But for me, as a filmmaker, it was more about what people can leave the theater with, or after watching the DVD, how can the ideas that he created shift people's consciousness, create possibility in their own life, you know, take a look at how they're being stuck in their lives and just get their lives back on track and live their passion.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my goal in doing the film, and we've had screenings all over the country, and that's the reaction I'm getting, so I'm very happy that it's having that kind of effect on people who watch it.
Right. It did very well at the Atlanta Film Festival as well as the Palm Beach Film Festival that I know of. Are there others?
Yeah, we had our, after the two film festivals, it sold out, and we said, you know, we don't really need to do more festivals. We can just open this film, and we had a lot of interest from distributors. So we had our official world premiere at the Quad Cinema in New York City, and the documentary, without any advertising, I think they did like a little piece in the Village Voice, but it sold every show, five shows a day, was sold out or near sold out for a solid week at the Quad.
Wow.
And then Screen Media Films picked up the North American distribution rights, and they released it in Chicago and Philadelphia, and we opened up in Toronto, a few other cities, and it just did really well. And now we're planning on screenings in art theaters, art houses across the country, and some international as well.
Wonderful. Congratulations on the success of Transformation. I'm very curious, Robin, of, you know, I hear that you're very interested in social consciousness and making a difference in the world and doing something about our conditions. I'm wondering what drew you in particular to Werner Erhard as opposed to something else?
Well, I took the Landmark Forum, and the seminar leader approached me, and I was cynical, you know, going into it because I'm not really a group think type person,
uh-huh.
being a journalist, less so, you know, interested in group think.
Yes.
But someone at PBS had suggested I go, and so I said, okay, it's a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went there, the seminar leader approached me and said, you know, you should do a documentary.
Huh.
And I didn't know that Landmark and Werner Erhard were connected. And sometime during that weekend, someone told me, and I approached him. I said, you know, Landmark Education is not a documentary, but, you know, if Werner Erhard ever wanted to come out of hiding, now that is a documentary.
Definitely.
And the seminar leader said, no, he's not interested. He's been burned by the media. He's been out of the picture, and he wants to keep it that way. He's very happy, busy, productive. And it just, you know, just died, that the idea. And then I got a call a few months later, and I believe what happened is someone close to Werner, who he trusted very much, said, you know, I think there's an opening in our culture for really hearing what happened to you, the real story of why you left, about your ideas, and the popularity of the Landmark seminars all over the world, I think had something to do with that. And whatever happened between the two of them, Werner agreed to meet with me at least.
Hmm.
And once we met, you know, he decided that he trusted me enough to be interviewed.
Wow.
So,
that's fantastic. I mean, did you have some sort of, was it more excitement than anxiety about going forward with this project because of all of the controversy around it? How were you feeling at that moment where you got green lighted?
Oh, well, that's a great question because, you know, it's interesting. I'm a little younger than the age group that participated in EST, and so I really didn't know anything about Werner other than I heard that it was controversial and they sort of, you know, spoke harshly to people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a movie, Semi-Tough, which you saw in the documentary,
mm-hmm.
a little clip of it. That's all I knew about Werner Erhard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had no preconception. Like I was, a lot of people would be nervous about meeting him because he was such an icon and he changed their lives, and I didn't have that experience with him, only from the mass media.
Mm-hmm.
So I was open,
right?
You know, to the kind of person he really was,
mm-hmm.
And to sort of tell the story from an audience perspective.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't come in with preconceived notions, like sort of like an actor who's about to do Shakespeare, who'd never even heard of Shakespeare. They would come in just doing it fresh, from a very organic place, instead of trying to put on a British accent or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, just from what the mass media had told me, so I had a little idea. And I'll tell you what was very interesting. I was given permission to go into the vault where all of the S tapes were.
Wow.
And I sat there for hours and hours, and I was prepared to see seminars, you know, with people jumping on the table and screaming and cursing at you. You know, this is what my impression was, or the little that I knew from our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked to see most of it was really just like what you would see in a Tony Robbins seminar. Just really, you know, intellectual, heartfelt discussion. And there was a percentage of it that was dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And Werner could, you know, get in your face. And, of course, I used quite a bit of it in the documentary because that's what's interesting.
Yes.
But I didn't see any of that jumping on the table and cursing and tearing people down that I think a lot of people thought about the S seminar.
Right, right. I can only imagine. My heart quickened when I heard you say you went into the vault where all the S tapes were.
Yeah.
Everything being energy, I can only imagine what that felt like.
Yeah, there were thousands of tapes.
Oh, my gosh.
Overwhelming to sit there. You know, you just don't know where to start. And
yeah.
They really archived everything. They taped all the training seminars with the trainers. Because, you know, Werner actually led the seminar for only a few years, and then he would do it once in a while. But there were a lot of excellent trainers, and they were constantly training new trainers, so seminar leaders. So all of the training sessions were taped. And then there were some with Werner, but a lot of them were just, you know, training sessions with other people. So, yeah, they taped everything. So it was a gold mine.
Oh, my gosh. I want, so you say gold mine, and I'm just having this vision of something that rocked my world one day. I walked into a store that you needed an appointment to get in, and there were tons of security guards standing around. And when I walked in, all the walls were lined with pure gold, just gold everywhere. And I actually slid down the wall and needed to be assisted to a chair from just the energy of that. So that's what I had in my mind when you said gold mine of, because I've been through everything Landmark Forum offers. And if I had known about S back then and I was of an age where I could participate, I would have done that because, like you, I'm interested in social consciousness, and I'm interested in making a difference, and I'm interested in being my greatest self so that I can do that, because if I'm hiding out or I have these issues that I'm not aware of and blocks that I'm not aware of and fears and anxieties I'm not aware of, I'm not responsible for what I'm not aware of. And what that the S training in Landmark does is it brings everything that's essentially you into your awareness, where you can have the option to be a responsible person about it then or not.
Right. And, you know, that whole concept of responsibility was so distorted. As you saw in the documentary, you know, Werner's point was you have to come from a powerful place, and that powerful place means you have to be responsible for your life. So even if, you know, you have a disease, it's not like it's your fault you have a disease,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be responsible because you can't do anything about it. You can't be powerful to combat it, to handle it. If you're not coming from a powerful place, mm-hmm. and to come from a powerful place, you need to take responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. But it was very distorted how people said Werner was trying to make it your fault, like it's your fault that you're a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what he meant at all. As you saw in the documentary when George Leonard said, you know, if a plate glass window falls and breaks your head, you caused it, you're responsible. And he said, that's ridiculous. Werner shouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what Werner was talking about at
mm-hmm.
all.
Right.
So when
right.
he had, so when he was talking to the orphan, as you saw in the documentary,
mm-hmm.
he's saying to her, you know, there's a payoff for you for being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be a victim, and then you get to act like a victim, and everyone has to say, well, it was her, you know, isn't this pitiful for her? And you don't have to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get off it, you know, then you have to take responsibility for
mm-hmm.
it. Well, some people said, you know, well, that's re-victimizing a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what he was talking about.
No, I don't believe in victims. I believe in volunteers. And I also believe that if somebody's coming from a victim place, that they need a victimizer so that they can continue not to take responsibility for their own power. And it's not something that we're doing on purpose or maliciously. It's insidiously in our subconscious where we can't see it. And I believe a lot of victims don't know they're victims. And, you know, what Landmark Education does and the S programs did was it helped to reveal people where in their lives they were actually playing very small and coming from a victim mentality. It's like, you know, there are challenges and hardships in all of our lives. It's who you are in the face of those challenges and hardships that create your outcome and your reality and ultimately your destiny. And that, I believe that's what S was trying to do and Landmark Education is doing today. And your
right.
documentary, I feel, really captured that.
Good. It, you know, it was a challenge because how do you take, it was the most challenging project I have worked on to date, and I've done so many projects for public television, outside of public television, but it was the most challenging filmmaking I had ever done because how do you take something that people learn in a weekend and two weekends for, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, how do you compress that into 10 minutes or 15 minutes because we had to deal with his life and the legacy and other aspects in the documentary, and how to communicate these ideas. It was such a challenge. I had so many screenings for people who never took any of the programs
mm-hmm.
and would say to them, do you get it? Do you understand what he means by this?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it too abstract? And sometimes they would say, it's too abstract. It's not, you know, I don't get it.
You did your own market research.
Yeah, because unless you've sat through a weekend, you know, it just people don't get it.
Well, here's the thing: it's experiential.
Exactly.
You can't encapsulate it. You can't compartmentalize it. You can't describe it. You must go through it yourself, and that's why it's called transformation. And, you know, transformation is permanent, whereas change is transient.
Right.
And you captured it in this documentary, and I really am impressed with how you did that.
Thank you so much, because I really, you know, I knew in order for it to work for people, they really had to get the ideas, or else it's just a biography of someone. And
right.
I wasn't interested in doing just a biography of a controversial person.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted people to get something for their own lives.
And I believe that you accomplished that. And as soon as I watched it, I was so excited. I told everybody I could get to stand still long enough about the film, and immediately everybody wanted to know where they could get it. And with that in mind, you've got a something going on for the holiday special?
Yes, thank you. We on transformationfilm.com, we're running a holiday special because I really want people to give the gift of transformation to everyone they know. You know, if you can give someone their life back, that's the greatest gift
mm-hmm.
of all. So we reduce the prices for the holidays, and especially if you buy 5 or 10, you know, it's this dramatic discount.
So if you buy 10, they're $15.95 a piece, which is such a great deal. I mean, you can't even get very much gas for $15.95.
Yeah.
I think 3 gallons or 4 gallons.
Yeah.
You can get 5 of these DVDs for $16.95 and one for $18.95 during the holiday special. And if you just go to transformationfilm.com, you'll see a trailer running there,
yep.
as well as how to order the DVD.
Yep.
How long will it take to ship?
They ship within a day or two.
Right.
Our fulfillment house sends them out. And we have two versions. One is for North America, and the other one is foreign. And they're a little bit different. The foreign DVD has a couple of extra deleted scenes that we were able to put on because it was made afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But they both have extra scenes, and what people really love about the DVD is it has Werner talking uncut about his ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting stuck, getting off it, responsibility, owning your future,
mm-hmm.
all of his favorite speeches,
Yep.
Talks, you hear those uncut for about, you know, 3 minutes or so on each topic.
Great. And one thing I really love that you put in the DVD is how Werner admits that if he's going to have this technology out in the world, he's going to have to use it on his own life.
Yes.
And he healed his relationships with his daughters and, I believe, his mother and ex-wife.
Yes.
And it's really something to see, you know. Have tissues ready because you're just going to feel things, and it's in feeling things that transformation happens, where you unfreeze those frozen emotions.
I had to interview him, Kate, 5 times to get to a place where he could really be himself and honest about, you know, what happened, the controversies in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And how, for example, if you know the story, that when he was very young, you know, 19 years old, he left his first wife and his 4 children, and he basically disappeared for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
His mother, whom he was very close with, was devastated. It devastated his whole family, and for him, that part of his life is complete, and he's completed the relationships and healed those relationships. But for this documentary, he had to go back there and really own, you know, what he had done.
Yes.
And, you know, you see the real man in this documentary.
Right. And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Right. So who were the kind of, what kind of people, if you can say, were the ones who opposed you telling this story in the first place? Were there any?
Well, you know, people are interesting, as you know.
Oh, yes.
There will always be people who feel that, you know, he was just in it for the money. And, you know, what I learned, because I didn't have any feeling about him going in, it could have been that way, but what I learned about him was that he was a rising star in the business world. By the age of 27, he had a high position in a Fortune 500 company. He could have made millions selling cars or widgets or vacuum cleaners. You know, I mean, he was incredibly brilliant. So he didn't have to go into this business to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He could have done anything. But what I found out about him was that he really does love people. And he really does care about people, and that he made a lot of money and that the seminars were well received and became world renowned, that was great for him. But the most important thing was that they work for people and that people got value out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was most important for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, to answer your question, you know, there are always people who feel like he was just in it for the money.
Right.
And feel like he was a charlatan, and, you know, I get emails or people leave messages, or on YouTube, you know, there's a clip going and people will leave some messages saying, oh, I believe he was a fake and he ran out on his family, and how could you, you know, how could someone like that, you know, be such a respected leader? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, you know, people make mistakes, especially when you're 19 years old.
Yeah.
We all made mistakes.
Right.
But he
cleaned it up.
He cleaned it because he hadn't transformed himself until 1971. He did not know what was happening in his life. But as soon as he found out about himself and got his own act together, that's when he went back and healed his family.
Mm-hmm.
So at 19, when he left his family, of course it was a terrible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, you know, he has to live with that and live with what happened as a result. But it's not like he was leading some secret life and, you know, that he had done this damage, and while he was acting like he was some transformed, holier-than-thou icon.
Mm-hmm.
No, as he developed the program, he knew and was working on healing the relationships in his life.
Mm-hmm.
What did Warner think of the final cut of the documentary?
Oh, he loved it, but he watched it on his own, and then I watched it once with him, which was very difficult to do. And he told me it was very difficult for him to watch some of those sections.
Right.
Which is okay. If it was all easy, then I didn't do my job.
Right.
So that he was uncomfortable was a good sign for me.
Right. And how was it for you as a filmmaker to sit there and be with the person the film was about and just, you know, be present and moment by moment keep breathing?
Yeah, I don't remember breathing that much.
Right, right.
Especially during those sections that you know because you've seen it when he talks about, you know, leaving his family in 60 minutes and what happened. It's all in the documentary and, you know, it happened a long time ago, but I had to go back there and talk about at least what was publicly known to take on those accusations. So
right.
I had to. He knew that I had to going in. You know, I had creative control over the documentary, and he knew that that's where we would have to go, where I wasn't interested in doing the project.
Right.
So, you know, he loved it, and he knew that I had to do it, and he thought it was handled well.
Wonderful. And have you noticed or heard or have a sense of whether or not transformation film has impacted Landmark Education at all?
Well, it's a very interesting phenomenon what's going on at these screenings. We don't do a lot of advertising, and a lot of people find out about it. And at the screening, people who did EST back in the 70s and 80s, so you're talking 20, 30 years ago, come to the screening and they say, you know, I haven't been in touch with this work for 20 years and I want to get back involved. It rekindled for me what was so exciting about that time and how much I got out of the program. And so new people, old people that hadn't been around the work for a long time were interested in going back. And people who participate in Landmark programs now, they brought family members who did not necessarily want to go to a seminar, but they were willing to go see a documentary, and after seeing the documentary were open to going to a seminar.
Ah, that's great. So it created some willingness there.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
And one thing that EST and Landmark Education are big contributors to are, it's one simple word, but there's nothing simple about it because it means everything, and that's the word integrity.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not your word, you don't have anything.
Exactly. And that, you know, the bathroom scene that was so taken out of context, you know, about how they said EST programs, you couldn't go to the bathroom, you'd have to stay there all day, all night. And of course that wasn't true, but what that was about was, you know, being your word. If your word was you're going to stay in the room, then you should live your word.
Now, yes, and I also got out of that you shouldn't let your bladder run your life.
Right, exactly. You are not a tube.
Yes.
And there are excuses that people, you know, if you have an emergency, you know, something's going on, of course they let you out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting how a lot of people use eating food or going to the bathroom or doing something to get them out of the conversation.
Well, they're confronted.
Right.
Yeah.
So integrity is about that. It's really owning your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if you're falling asleep during a seminar, that's because there's some stuff being said that you're not ready to deal with yet.
Exactly.
So I would imagine that they kept the room temperature at, you know, a certain level that would help keep people alert and awake.
I've never heard that before, but that's possible. I don't
right. I know they use it in movie theaters. If they feel you're nodding off, they shut down they put the air conditioner down, so you'll have to sort of bundle up a little bit. And,
right.
You know, they use the room temperature to help you enjoy your experience of the film.
Or to keep eating popcorn so that you go back and get a refill or something.
Exactly. There's a method to their madness.
Exactly.
So what else is unfolding for transformation, either new or foreign distribution? What do you see happening? What would be the greatest thing that you could ever imagine right now? If I could grant you a wish about transformation, the film, what would you want?
I get one wish, huh?
You get as many as you want, but just for the sake of the game.
Well, you know, Kay, I would love to see transformation on a major television network. I think it's something that, you know, HBO or Showtime, the Biography Channel, Sundance, that it would be perfect for a national audience to have a chance to see this, not to read what's in an old newspaper clipping or anything like that, but to watch the program and judge the project, the ideas, and the man on the merit of the documentary film.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, because the DVD is selling really well, and a lot of people who are familiar with the work are buying the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I would like people who, a general audience, who don't know much about it, to have the opportunity to see it. And I think the way to do that is television. And there's a huge audience for this, but they, you know, they don't know about it because the program directors at the networks have to be the ones to say, yes, this is good for our audience. So that's
mm-hmm.
what we're working on right now. And the Screen Media Films, that's one reason why we went with them, so they would set it up at a network. So that's what I would love to see.
Wonderful. And your wish is granted.
Oh, thank you. Good. In 09.
Welcome. Yes. okay. If or sooner. So what I'm thinking about this is, being in the entertainment industry, I don't know if you know this about my background, I've been a talent manager and in the entertainment industry for nearly 3 decades, and I'm currently still a talent manager with wonderful, wonderful humans as my clients. I have 25 clients. And what I'm finding, being in the entertainment industry and having a radio show like Spiritual Hollywood, is more and more executives are coming out of the consciousness closet.
Right.
And I'm helping pull them out. So you get the right executive who's coming out of the consciousness closet to say yes to airing this nationally, and you're in.
Exactly. It just takes one executive who really got a lot out of the training or is just open to ideas.
Well, wasn't Warner Brothers affectionately regarded back in the day as Warner Brothers?
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, but it's been many years since that. So I think there's a brand new audience out there that would really appreciate the ideas that they learn, as well as the story. It's part of our history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 70s, the human potential movement.
Sure.
And all the programs that came out of that, and all of the words, you know, transformation, get off it, thanks for sharing, all of these phrases that came out of the ESP training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of our culture, so the documentary has cultural significance as well.
Sure.
It could be on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
I would, a feature film. I know I read that George Clooney was interested in doing a feature film about the project. I mean, I would hope that I could participate and share everything that I've learned about the man, so if there is a feature film that's done, that it's done right.
Yeah, you could be a consultant.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that would be a great thing, too, if it was done fairly and not just sensationally, but
right.
Really know the man.
Right. Was this the first documentary that you had done?
Well, it's the first documentary that I produced independently. I produced documentaries for the Teaching Learning Network, which is a production company. I also produced documentaries for public television.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first documentary that I did that was had a theatrical release and independent of a major network.
Mm.
So, mm. Yeah. And we also recently signed a foreign distribution deal. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, so that the foreign distributor's job will be to get it on television networks outside of the U.S. and Canada.
Right, right.
So that's exciting.
It is very exciting. It's going global.
And I just finished producing another documentary called Crossing the Bridge, which is about a couple who survived the Holocaust who travel the world transforming the relationship between couples.
Hmm.
And they speak many languages, and they just globetrot, and their goal is to create a culture of connection all over the world.
Weren't they on Oprah Winfrey or some show like that? I believe I saw a couple like that who survived the Holocaust and that they're still very much in love after 60-plus years of marriage. Am I thinking of the right people?
No, they've been married about 40 years.
Mm.
And the woman is a psychologist.
Mm.
And that together now they lead these relationship workshops. Their names are Heidi and Yumi Schleifer. And the name of the workshop is Adventures in Intimacy.
Oh.
It's really about communication.
Yes.
So their mission is to bring peace to the world one couple at a time.
Oh, I love that.
But they do, it's amazing how they transform the relationship. Over the course of a weekend, people could be on the verge of breaking up. And over the course of the weekend, they fall in love with each other, like they loved each other when they first met. And it's really amazing to watch.
So they get off it.
Yeah, they get off. You know, they go into their childhood. They do all these interesting rituals, crossing the bridge, crossing the bridge with their mother, with their father.
Right.
And they get to know the child and the other person. And when you know the other child, you don't want to hurt them.
No.
You're not going to do things as an adult to hurt the child.
Yeah, you set each other up to win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's an interest just to watch these rituals in the documentary was something else. So I finished that. It premiered in Vancouver, and it's been picked up by White Buffalo Films or White Buffalo Entertainment, and they'll be in charge of doing the film festivals and TV with that.
Do you have a website for them where our listeners could go to see more about it?
Yeah, it's they're just starting the website. It's crossingthebridgefilm.com.
Mm-hmm. Great. So. I also understand that you're working on something called the Yes Movie now.
Yes.
Yes.
Louis Lautman, he's a phenomenally evolved young man.
Yes.
Who took on this project, and he's on a mission.
Yes.
And it is to empower young people to be their own bosses, to make their own futures. And it's called YES, Young Entrepreneurs Society. And what he did, he went around the country and interviewed the top young entrepreneurs and also their mentors to find out how they became successful. And he just did a brilliant job. And I helped him. I put the rough cut together, and now they're polishing it. So we had an opportunity to work together for several months, and he's just an amazing young guy. And the timing is perfect for this documentary because, you know, people are losing their jobs in factories and, you know, all these big companies that are going under or in trouble or downsizing. This documentary is about being your own boss, finding some niche. You don't have to invent something new. You just have to find a new way of presenting it, and you could be financially successful. And something you're passionate about, because that's what you have to find, your passion, and you'll be successful. The money will follow.
Totally.
And that's what all these young entrepreneurs were saying. Be passionate, and the money will follow. Don't worry. Take those risks.
Wasn't the youngest entrepreneur 8 years old when they started?
Yeah. There were quite a few in there that were doing entrepreneurial jobs since they were, you know, single digits. And it was a theme, you know, running through all of these amazing guys and women that they always had that entrepreneurial spirit. And they just focused. and networked and believed in themselves, took risks, and they failed. They faced a lot of failure, but they stuck with it, and they just didn't give up on their dream.
And there's somebody who makes coat hangers. Thank goodness for that person.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And do you mind if I give the website for the Yes Movie?
Oh, please do.
It's theyesmovie.com.
Yeah.
Yesmovie.com. And you know what, Robin? Yes is the most awesome brand that you could think of. That and Transformation.
Right?
Yes.
How empowering is that?
Yes. And I know how it happened. It happened because the entrepreneur, there was like a copyright infringement by using a certain term that Louis Lautman was using. So instead he chose to use an acronym, which just turned out to be the word YES.
Right.
Young Entrepreneur Society.
Huh.
And that's
perfect.
How that happened, because he almost got sued for using someone else's, it was too similar to someone else's title or I won't say who it is, but you could probably figure it out. Anyway, it was a threat to someone else, so he changed it because of that, to avoid any kind of friction or lawsuit, because he just wants to empower people and lift people up and not compete, but to join in. And it just turned out to be the Yes Movie, which is amazingly synchronistic and wonderful.
I can't wait to see it. I really, you know, as I said, we did the rough cut together, and, you know, it's been an adventure for him because he's never done a film before.
Right.
So, you know, you have to hand a lot of credit. He saw Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Sought me out. He called and called and followed me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like traveling doing these screenings. I'm like, who is this guy who's calling me? You know, I want to meet you. I want to take you out to lunch. I have a project. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And he was so persistent and so sincere. I said, I have to meet this kid. He's something special.
Yeah.
And it wound up being a terrific collaboration. And
yes.
I just can't wait to see the final result.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's a momentum that just can't be stopped on the planet right now. And you're a part of it. He's a part of it. We're all a part of it. And it doesn't matter what job you do. It's how you do it that matters. It's what you're believing about yourself. And I just read a beautiful thing the other day that says, the minute you stop believing the lies about yourself is the minute you'll stop believing lies about others. And when you change the main character in your story, which is you, your entire story will change.
Yeah, that's beautiful. We shot a documentary called Sampap about Sampap Jantraka. He's a Thai man who has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
And he just one day he saw that young girls in Thailand, once they got into the sex trade, it was hard to get them out. And he decided, he had no money, but he decided he was going to find girls that, before they got into the sex trade, start a school and find them and give them an opportunity to learn job skills, to have an education, to learn self-respect, self-confidence, and it became his mission in life to do this. And now he has saved the lives of thousands of young girls.
Mm.
These young girls are amazing that you meet at his school. And it's just, he had a passion. He just didn't look at the situation and say, oh, what can I do? I'm an orphan. I have no money. How can I take this on? You know, like we're seeing with the CNN heroes series. It's just any one of us can make a difference if we just are passionate about it, and you have to find what you're passionate about, and you will feel so alive. And
I agree with that. And when you start saying to yourself, why not me?
Right.
Why not me?
Yeah.
And instead of how can I do that? Because when you're obsessed with the cursed house, you can't get there. But when your why is powerful enough, the hows take care of themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about with passion and purpose. And when you find your passion and your purpose, which is the greatest gift that you can discover in this lifetime, the universe shows up to support you 100%. And that's what I believe happened with Transformation, the documentary, and with all the other great things that are out there today making a difference, and even the movie The Secret.
Yeah.
You know, it's, these things are timely, And we have a new president because it was time for a new president, and the last 8 years needed to happen to get us to the place where we would say, okay, I'm going to be able to respond now, response able, to go out and vote for somebody that I want in office.
Yeah, and if this, what happened with the election, if that's not transformational in our culture, I don't know what is. It's the biggest piece of evidence I've seen in a long time.
Right.
There is a movement underway, and I've also been working with some people in L.A. about a network that will be on the Internet, and it will be all about transformational films. It's going to be harnessing all the wonderful motivational speakers and spiritual leaders and harnessing all of their energy and putting it on this network and making available all of their great teachings. And
yes,
we'll be doing films and DVDs and all kinds of materials, and they're just forming this organization now, and it's so exciting because there are others like this too. So it's all about transformation. It's all about consciousness. So it's very exciting.
That is very exciting. And if there's anything I could possibly do to help support that vision and help midwife it into reality with you, you please let me know.
Great. You are. You're a part of it, as you say. So.
Well, thank you. And it's, you know, it's my great honor and pleasure to do whatever, small, large, whatever size part that I can do to help raise consciousness and help people remember who they really are, because we were born perfect regardless of what anybody says. We weren't born with a bunch of sins on us, and I know that might ruffle somebody's feathers out there. I believe that we were all born perfect, and the key is to get back to that belief of our perfection so that we'll start respecting each other more, like crossing the bridge, like that lovely couple. You get to know each other's inner child. How could you hurt that person?
Exactly. Exactly. It works, you know, in all kinds of relationships, this ritual that they do. It works in all relationships, mother and child, employee, employer. It's just, if you visit them, if you are present to who that other person is, if you go into their world, experience their world in a non-judgmental way, you will see them. And you will be open to them and experience that other person in a way that you never have before. And when you're able to do that, you create this connection that would not exist otherwise. And out of that connection can come all kinds of possibilities for your
right.
relationship and for yourself.
Right. And one thing I learned is that the greatest compliment we can pay another person is, it's going to sound a little strange, but is not to know them. Is not to predetermine what they're about to say, not to predetermine what they're about to do. Just act as if you're knowing them for the first time with beginner's mind.
Exactly.
And let them unfold in front of you and blossom right in front of you. And they'll come out when you approach them like that.
It's funny that you say that, because in the beginning of the seminar with this couple, they say just that. Make believe you just met in the lobby, and you came and you found out there was a couple's workshop, and you looked at each other and said, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And to approach it with a beginner's mind,
mm-hmm.
how would you be? You would be curious about that other person. You would, you know, be open and present to them. So if you approach your relationship every day like that, and that know that there is a space between you, and what you put into the space in any relationship will determine the relationship, and you have the power as an individual to put positive things, trust, harmony, love, respect, in that space
mm-hmm.
between you. Or you can fill it with sarcasm and cynicism and jealousy and mistrust and
mm-hmm.
all of those things. But if you honor that space between you and your partner or you and your child, you'll treat that relationship in a whole new way.
Yeah. I call that upward spiral.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because the downward spiral, we know what that's like. That's the easy
yeah.
way out.
Exactly.
It really takes something for someone to focus on an upward spiral and to set the other person up to win.
Right. It takes work. It really does.
It takes love. It takes knowing that person's child self and coming to love them and knowing that they're innocent.
Right. Exactly. And it's not, you know, people downplay, oh, that's that spiritual crap. No, absolutely not. You want relationships to work. You want to live in a harmonious way. Everyone wants that. No one wants to live in conflict. So how you do it is being observant about what you put in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful. It's powerful. It's how you want to choose to live. You want
mm-hmm.
to live the way you've been living that doesn't seem to work,
mm-hmm.
or you want to try living in a powerful way that creates a space for, you know, great things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to all of us.
Well, you know, and for some people, Robin, they're just, they don't know that they don't know that they don't know that
right.
they're stuck. And to get somebody to open up to the level that we're speaking of, to them would be, if you said this to them, it would be like putting a camel through the eye of a needle for them.
Right.
But when you look at that person and you see who they really are and you see that their potential is that they could do that if they chose it,
mm-hmm.
and what I want to do for my life's mission, if I may say, is I want to create a willingness on the planet for everybody to be open and willing to get back to who they really are.
Yeah.
And however that occurs for a person is how that occurs for a person. I'm writing a little booklet called A Dictionary, ADDICTIONARY. And that is just to deal with, we're all addicted to something, and we're all numbing ourselves with something. And if we would just find out what that something is and be willing not to do that for a while, we would finally meet who we really are when we look in the mirror.
Yeah. And it's interesting. A lot of people with the documentary got stuck on the controversy about Werner Erhard and couldn't get past that to
mm-hmm.
look at the ideas and the powerful legacy of his ideas. And like he says in the documentary, it's too bad. It's too bad
mm-hmm.
for people that they couldn't judge for themselves because
mm-hmm.
of a handful of people in the media who got stuck
yeah.
with, you know, whatever they were stuck on.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad because there are so many worthwhile nuggets for people to embrace or even consider. And that people get stuck on the negativity and being critical and cynical, it's too bad because it doesn't matter. Werner Erhard as a person doesn't matter, really. He says he doesn't want to matter. What he wants are his ideas to work in people's lives.
Yes.
And if they work and if they get people to a place where they're not stuck in their lives the way they have been living, if they're dead in their life,
mm-hmm.
and this idea can make them come alive,
mm-hmm.
what does it matter, you know, who Werner Erhard the person is? It matters that you have now a life,
mm-hmm.
and you only have one time around. So isn't anything worth, you know, having the chance to really be alive?
Yes.
Tools that you learn, you know, in a weekend or whatever it is.
Right, right. And the thing is that we all, none of us really see the world as it is. We see the world as we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So in that lies where people are stuck.
Yeah. People's reality, what people think is reality.
Yeah. And those who are ready will be ready, and those who are not, seeds will get planted somewhere, and hopefully they'll all blossom. And I believe in that. I believe that that's happening now. There's a consciousness that cannot be stopped. It's happening through osmosis. Our children are being born already immersed in a higher consciousness. They're indigo children and crystal children, and it's just happening. There's nothing that can stop it, and it's a beautiful time to be alive. And with that, we've come to the end of our Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I told you it would seem like 15 minutes.
Wow, it really did.
Yeah, it was really delightful having you on, Robin.
Oh.
Go to www.transformationfilm.com and pick up some copies of this DVD. The holiday season is a great time to take advantage of the holiday sale that they're having right now, and load up on these things and start making a difference in people's lives wherever you feel that there's a willingness. And because when there's a way. And Robin, congratulations on all your success, and I'm very excited for your future. And I want to thank the listeners for showing up with us tonight, and We'll be back next week, and I just want to remind you to stand up really tall, take a deep breath, and love yourselves. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action, so create the life that you love. Good night, everybody. Thanks again, Robin.
Thank you. Pleasure.